Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lester, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. We know we're here for some fun and adventure, right? Well, yes, and on top of it, could it be possibly a full moon is nearby? If you notice the fun of full moons, we've picked a great day to move this ahead, especially with a wonderful, wonderful guest. It's going to be talking about the yoga of relationships. And boy, if you got a good one going on a full moon, oh, are you in for a treat. Well, today, our show, as usual, is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com. And we want to thank our sponsor that brings the show on the air. When you take a moment and go to AdvancedLiving.com, you'll see a plug-in item, the comfort technology. We call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers, because literally it looks like a digital clock, but when you plug it in, it's like having a holy person show up and meditate in your space. It harmonizes the energy, and we have wonderful doctors and celebrities that just rave about what a difference it makes. So stress, strain, aches and pain, just plug that in and watch what a difference the stress relief will make. All right, now on with the fun and adventure. You know we have a goal in mind to bring you value each week. And I have a prayer I say daily, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. All right. Well, you think, well, that takes a lot of work. Well, of course that would be. But guess what? We've got a shortcut. Yes, we're going to give you some steps to work smarter, not harder. And how can we do that? Well, with our guest today, Yogi Amrit Desai, who's also called Gurudev. And let me give you a little bit of an introduction. Basically, for more than 40 years, Yogi Amrit Desai, or Gurudev, has been a pioneer in reestablishing the spiritual depth of yoga. If you've ever done hatha yoga and some of these postures or certain types of yoga where the emphasis was on doing a posture, well, yes, you can do that, but reestablishing the spiritual depth of yoga that he does has some wonderful implications. And hundreds of thousands of people around the world now teach and practice yoga as a result of his teachings. And yes, it's much easier when you follow his pathway than it is to try to get into an inverted full lotus position and learn to spin around. That's very hard. Very few people can do it. So in 1970, he experienced a spontaneous kundalini awakening by the grace of his guru, Swami, and it's Kripal Vandananji. Ah, thank you. Good. See, there's help. I'm hearing voices. And it's and is, of course, our guest today. And the yoga society that Yogi Desai founded eventually grew to become Kripalu Center for Yoga, which some of you may have heard of, one of the largest centers of its kind in America. And he's been honored in the U.S. and abroad. Some of his distinguished titles include the rare Vishwa Yoga Ratna, which was awarded by the President of India. And Yogi Desai is the author of 8 books and 45 CDs on yoga and holistic living, including the new books, The Yoga of Relationships and Love and Bliss, that are available on the site amritkala.com. So welcome, Gurudev.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. It's nice to be with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so excited because I got to spend some time when you were in Denver, and now here you are with an opportunity for us to share more of what you're doing, and I'm a big fan of you with now all my listeners. Now, a lot of people have heard of the term guru, but clearly not everyone has a guru, and can you tell us what a guru does? And why would I benefit from a guru? In other words, what's the relationship between like a guru and the students or the disciple?
Yes, I think the word guru has been used by many, but very few really know the real meaning of the guru. And guru is the one, first of all, who has learned to connect to the light. And it's a light that expands and light into oneness. Means guru is the light that is accepting and both light and darkness. Means he accepts everything as it is. Means he has learned to live more and more in the present without fighting with the darkness, because what fights with darkness is the darkness itself. So in yoga, we call it witness. So witness is that which accepts dark and light simultaneously without fighting any of that. So that is the light of the guru. So it is very much like when we talk about Norman Vincent Peale's philosophy of power of positive thinking. Of course, power of positive thinking has some value, but there is something that is more positive than the positive that you can go to when you are positive, not only about positive, but also positive about negative. When you go there, you accept all conditions. You stand in the light of unconditional life. And that is the guru.
Wow. Boy, talk about a wonderful place of being. I know that so many of the teachers talk about how wonderful and important it is to accept things as they are rather than to be judgmental.
Right. So
here is the essence of this in the light of the guru.
That is right. And a guru and a disciple relationship begins only when the disciple is ready. He recognizes the guru. So that is why they say in the guru, when the disciple is ready, guru appears. That's what they say. No, I would have made some corrections. When disciple is ready, guru is recognized. In other words, it is for a person to recognize the external guru, they have to have made a connection to the guru within themselves. So the real guru of guru lives within each one of us. An external guru is then recognized, then there becomes a symbiotic relationship where external guru acts as an agent to bring a connection, deeper connection with the guru within. Yes.
Wow. Now, that's wonderful because so often in the past in the studies that I've done, a person finds a guru and they're not being told by a particular guru that to look within themselves, that the guru that they found is there to help bridge the gap between where they're at and the discovery of that guru within themselves. And to me, this is a beautiful addition that has been missing in some of the teachings that I've heard.
So that is what I always have taught, that the first you have to connect with the light within you. Only then can you recognize the light that is from the other person. So it is the same thing as beauty is in the eye of a beholder, because you cannot see the light of the guru unless you have seen the light within you.
Ah, and then, so when the, as it says, when the student is ready, the teacher, the guru will appear. So when a person has reached a level where they begin to recognize some of that, then the guru, someone might discover some of your work, and then you would be there like helping to amplify the light so that they begin to discover more of the guru within themselves through the connection to you.
Right. So real guru of all gurus lives within each one of us.
Mm.
And all the techniques that I teach is how to get in touch with that light within you. And I also teach how to enter into zero stress integrated zone where you get in touch with the highest power hidden within you.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Well, this is great. For people that like to understand some of this, because the different teachers out there often talk about their lineage and how some of these teachings came down through other teachers, would you please give us a little information about that and your guru, the Swami Kripalu, and the lineage of light?
Yes. See, most of the teachers who teach yoga, often they have not reached the deeper and subtler levels of yoga themselves. As a result, what they teach comes from having learned from somebody else who learned from somebody else who learned from somebody else who did not know, who hasn't gone through all the blockages that prevent us from being in touch with the innermost core of our being called yoga. As it is, so the lineage of masters, my guru, Swami Kripalvanand, whom we call in short Kripalu, and in his name I first started the name of Kripalu Yoga. So my guru reached to the highest state of yoga called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, the ultimate union with God. So when he reached there, everything he taught me came from his direct experiences. And so the yoga that I teach comes from that lineage, means his guru was incarnation of Lord Shiva himself. So that is called lineage. So it is very much like most people who even write the books on yoga. They know psychology, they know philosophy, but they haven't known, they have known the basically the map, but they haven't known the territory. So that is why this yoga that I teach comes from the innermost core of being, that comes from the lineage of masters, and me also having realized the inner core through my direct experiences.
Ah, wow.
Right.
That to me, that is so profound and so important, because we can always have someone talk to us about what they read in a book or what someone told them about, but when the bottom line is that direct experience of that oneness with the Creator, there's no substitute for having been there.
Right, and that is why I sometimes explain to people, would you buy a map from a street vendor who likes to draw the maps he has never traveled? You cannot do that. But what I say is, when it comes from the realized master, it is more like a AAA service. You can depend on it.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
Because they have traveled the roads, they know what they are talking about.
Right. Oh, that is so important. I mean, we might want to take a little path, a short distance, or go a little. I live near a lake, and I might take a little different path and end up at the lake. But when we're talking about something as important as our spiritual transformation and oneness with our Creator, that is the foundation of a beautiful life, this is not a journey to be randomly taken. So this is wonderful that what you've done.
And that comes from connecting to the God or Guru within you. And that is what Christ meant when he said, "Be still and know that I am God." So I am, that is within each one of us, is the soul that connects us to cosmic soul we call God. So to connect with it, what Christ said is be still. And that is exactly what yoga is about. How to enter to the innermost core of silent awareness and stillness, where you are in touch with the light of the Guru and God within you.
Now, to me, this ties in with some of the differences. When I was first studying some different forms of yoga, mm-hmm. they were very much rigorous. A Kundalini yoga, for instance, just some real postures with a lot of physical energy in them. And now here with your yoga, I'd like you to help explain to my listeners in the Amrit method, it ties into this be still and know, because it's not about stress and strain to get into a posture.
Right, right. So usually most people practice yoga in the form of physical discipline. And we know that yoga and is about integration, so that unless you bring your body, mind, heart, and soul all in integrated state of harmony and balance, you haven't entered the state of yoga. And hard work cannot get you there. So that is why the yoga that I teach is about, it is not about the outer form we call the body. And it is, that's why it is called inner yoga, that connects you with prana body, the life force that is animating the body itself and is the medium of connection to the soul. So that yoga I call Amrit yoga, meditation in motion. In other words, when you enter the meditative state, you enter the alpha brain waves. And when you enter that, you are deeply relaxed. So when you are relaxed and you are conscious, when you come across the blockages in your body, you are not only managing blockages with your fight or flight reaction, which is unconscious. Instead, you are learning how to encounter that block by going to the witness consciousness. So instead of fight or flight reaction at the point, at the edge, you just replace it with breath and choiceless awareness. So you relax into it and you create a quantum leap so that you don't fight with the edge and you don't become edgy on the edge. Instead, you use breath and consciousness, choiceless awareness, to go beyond it with a deliberate conscious action.
Wow. And then the yoga nidra, and some of the form of meditation too, that I love the way it helps to get into that state much more easily than through some other methods.
Yes, you see, the yoga nidra is the most ancient technique that I have developed, some of the unique systems of that is called Tantra Yoga. So I have brought that from the most ancient teachings that allows people to create a conscious leap from making it happen to letting it happen, from doing to being. That means whenever you stop, go beyond the doing, you go beyond the ego mind that does fight or flight reaction whenever it comes to the edge. So this technique allows you to create a quantum leap into deeply meditative state, where the doer disappears into non-doing presence. It is the same thing as what happens when you fall asleep. When you fall asleep, before you fall asleep, you enter into alpha, and then eventually into deep sleep, you go into theta brainwaves. This yoga nidra is entering the similar states as sleep consciously. And that is where it is a quantum leap. Because when you enter into that unconsciously, because it is already inborn within us to fall asleep, we never had to learn. So it is subconscious urge that allows us to enter it. And so what I say is, no matter how much you sleep, you will never get enlightened. Just rest it. But when you enter into yogic sleep,
yeah,
you are entering into it consciously, and therefore you create a quantum leap from the restful sleep to transformative yogic sleep. And that is why it is called yogic sleep, because they both are in a sleep. You go below the self-conscious level, and in yoga nidra you go above the self-conscious level. So that is the big difference.
Yes. Now, what was so interesting as you were describing some of these places of being at peace rather than doing, I was thinking to myself, it's kind of reminding me of times that I've been in love, or that some of us have been in love in with another person, where when we think about that other person and we're with that other person, there is such peace and there is such flow and joy and such acceptance. There's not judgment. Everything about them is wonderful. The world is wonderful. And now I'm beginning to think, okay, well, for most of us, we have to fall in love with someone to get to that place. And I'm just kind of wondering, with your book about the yoga of relationships, are we going to be able to learn some of these ways of getting to that place of that deep place of love without necessarily having to have a focus of attention on another person?
Right. The love is the experience that is the most important experience that everyone is seeking, to that love. Why? Because whenever you are in love, you that is separate from the lover disappears into oneness. So when somebody enters into the climax of sex, the wall between the two just crumbles, and there is an union experience. So that is what is called yoga. But in the sex, it is temporary, and we call it love. But when you become dependent on the another person and believe that that love comes from the other person, that is when all the trouble in the love begins to happen. So the yogis recognize that the love that you experience in the presence of your beloved actually comes from within you. And then if you ask, how does that happen? So when you are, let's say, jealous and angry, and you are with the same beloved, and all of a sudden all the love disappears. So if it was coming from the other, it should not disappear. But when you are not in love, when you are engaged by jealousy or fear, all of a sudden, all the love disappears within seconds. So that means the source of love within. So the yoga of relationship is about how to discover the love, the source of love within, as you enter into loving relationship with your partner. So this is how it happens. Everything that you have ignored about yourself that created relationship problem everywhere, you try to find a lover who will not create that problem for you. You call them your soulmate. And all of a sudden, you fall in love with a soulmate. Why? Because they do not trigger any of your pre-programmed past conditions, and you call that your lover a friend. But actually, that friend is not pushing any buttons because that person is adjusting their behavior in such a way that you like everything. And you are doing the same thing. That means there is conspiracy in the initial stage of love, that nobody tries to disturb the other so they can get what they want from the other. So that is why, and then when they cannot find what they're looking from the other, then they all of a sudden, they are not willing to compromise. They are going to go back to all their behavior patterns, and there is a conflict. So the relationship is then we call it that person whom we found was the last person who would ever push our karma buttons that creates a reaction in us, anger in us, fear in us, and that is why we select the beloved so that they do not push our buttons. And eventually, that is the person who turns out to be the greatest button pusher right in your bed.
Oh.
because that is how we select, and even we call them soulmates, and then they become our problem.
Ah.
So what yoga teaches is how to solve the problem from within so that the intimate relationship is an amazing experience where everything that you are avoiding in every relationship begins to show up in intimate relationship. So what I say is if you want to change your life, just get married. And you don't have to even pay the psychiatrist or psychologist. What's your problem? Your beloved will mirror every one of them without any cost to you.
Ah, wow. You save a lot of money. In therapy, and just have to make sure to be making a list.
And that is the meaning of what Christ says, love thy neighbor as thyself. So then you're learning to love yourself by seeing through the other person all the problems that you are harboring in your unconscious gets reflected in intimate loving relationship. So what is invisible within you becomes visible in intimate relationship. And if you get married with this understanding that everything you reveal to me, I will make my best attempt to change in me rather than demand it from you. And then it becomes a spiritual relationship. Why? Because each one is connecting to their inner spirit through the other. And therefore, it is a spiritual relationship.
Wow. Well, so this is exciting because I think practically everyone is, at some point in time has fallen in love and been in that beautiful, blissful state that lasts for who knows what, a few days, a few months, and then issues come up. And now we're having some guidance about what to do.
Right. And that is the meaning of spiritual relationship. Why? Because what is hidden within us gets mirrored through the intimate relationships. And therefore, anything that you do that is intimately connecting you to another person, you will find all the problems as if they are coming from the other or outside. In reality, it is just a mirror. That person is acting as a mirror, revealing who you are without you having to pay for it. That is why I say your friends are your enemies, and your enemies are your friends.
Ah.
If you want to change your life, they will detect everything that you can't even find yourself, or even psychiatrists cannot find.
Yes. Yeah, and it shows up, in the interactions as people get closer to each other.
Right, and that is why you cannot go away from the shadow self-image that is disturbing your relationship everywhere you go. So that is why you cannot leave your self-image home and go out on a vacation or fall in love. So when two people fall in love, actually there are four people getting married. Everyone has their self-image that they bring with it. So two physical people and two shadow images, self-images. So that is why the self-image is in the earlier stage of relationship, self-image stays in the background. And it is each side tries to hide from it so that they can be loved and receive the love. But when that intimate relationship, whatever is in the background, always begins to come, resurface, and then you have the conflicts that were not there in the initial newness of the relationship.
That's wonderful. Now, I was looking through your book here, The Yoga of Relationships, and to me, there's so many positive, interesting things. The first chapter, I love the title, The Urge to Merge. And then the masquerade of love, love as an addiction. And then this expectation in silent reaction.
Yes.
So intriguing.
That's right, because in every intimate relationship, there is a silent conflict that is waiting to happen. And that silent conflict is expectation. So expectations are reactions waiting to happen. So then what I say is marriage never fails, expectations do.
That's beautiful. Oh, okay. That helps people to look at it differently.
And then why do we expect it from the other? Because actually what you are expecting from the other, you can never find, because you have to find it first from within you, and then only it will come to you without asking. So that is what is the meaning when Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. You have to learn how to accept all parts of you, good and bad, success and failure, happiness and unhappiness, in order to connect with the light within you. And that is called witness. Witness means I do not choose for or against what is present. I am unconditionally present to what is present. That is called meditation.
Oh, wow. Okay. this is to me wonderful. And now, the book, would you recommend when people are kind of wanting to improve their relationships that this would be an excellent tool for them to bring this into their lives?
Right. I think people, almost everybody, everywhere I go and teach yoga, and whenever I bring out the subject of relationship, almost everybody wants to know so many different questions they have. And I'm trying to explain that as to how to take back your power so that you learn how to solve your relationship problem by changing yourself rather than demanding the change. You cannot change yourself. And how can anybody else change just so that you are not happy, so that you can be happy with their change? So in other words, you cannot change even one person on this planet. And what I say is your parents tried to change you, whom they loved so much they will do anything to change you and help you. And look what happened to them. They got all distorted and unhappy and miserable.
Yes, they did.
There is no way to change anybody just because you would like them to behave in a certain way. Why? Because everyone's behavior is the result of everything that ever was in the entire journey of that soul. And they have no power to change it just because you expect it to be so.
Yeah, that's the expectations, that hidden saboteur.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking when you were saying that, we have an example in life. If we go into a restaurant, we can have expectations, and we can ask the waiter, look, I want it this way, I want it that way. They bring it out. No, I'm not satisfied. Do it another way. But when we try to do that kind of a thing in a relationship with another person, it just creates a mess.
Right. That means what we are asking for other, if we haven't learned to produce it ourselves, there is no way you can expect from the others what you couldn't do for yourself.
So here in the yoga of relationships, before going into the restaurant, I better go to cooking school and learn how to cook all the things I want.
Well, or at least learn, because if you depend on the other, you have to accept the other where they are.
Yes.
So that you can help them to change. Like if parents would accept the children will listen to their guidance and rather than be defensive and create this and live in a move distance from them for their parents. So this is the yoga of relationship, teaches you how to accept first. Whatever you want to change, you have to accept first. So what happens when you accept? You make inner change first, and then when you make an inner change, your demeanor changes, your voice changes, your advice changes, your body language changes, and the other person becomes open and receptive to listen to whatever you have to say.
Okay. Yeah, so this is quite different, because I know sometimes in relationships, if someone gets a button pushed, then all kinds of tension comes up, and they may get upset or tense, or they may just break off the relationship or just withdraw in some way.
Right.
And so you're recommending we take a different course of action.
Right. Definitely different, because the other course of action has never worked in the entire history of all the relationships human beings have gone through, demanding the change from the other. That can never happen. The other may adjust it if it is appropriate exchange, but that's not real change. That's a change called exchange. And that is marketplace. That's not real love. So when you change yourself, that is, and when other person shows that you have a karma button that got pushed by the other person, and instead of asking other person to heal you, which they cannot do, all you do is you remove your own button, karma button. So when you don't have any buttons of your karma, you are enlightened. Now you can go anywhere. In any relationship, there is nobody who can push your buttons, because you don't have a button.
Right. Now, that is probably the highest place that we could achieve.
Right.
Now, for people that are like getting your book and learning about this, and they're kind of getting started at this, and they'll still have some of these karma buttons, what would you recommend?
Yeah, that's
and
a very important
things happen.
That's a very important question, Ken, because that is exactly what I teach. Therefore, I have had thousands of people hundreds of thousands of people I have taught in past 50 years that I have been in America. And I have seen a profound shift in their relationships. First of all, within them. And therefore, once you make a change in you, every relationship goes through the change. Why? Because you are the center of life, and everything that shows up in the external world in the form of relationship is a reflection of where you live internally. So if you change internally, it changes everywhere. If you change, so external health-related problems, emotional problems, relationship problems, I call them the symptoms or the effect, the cause of which lies hidden in our unconscious. So this yoga practice is how to reach a very deep integrated level, alpha brainwaves, through the practice of yoga nidra and yoga that I teach, so that your relationship with yourself can be changed very effectively. And when you go that deep, your prayers, your affirmations, and your visualizations become actualized very quickly. And your behavior patterns change. Your old stubborn habit patterns you were not able to change begin to create a shift from the very core when you are so deeply relaxed in an integrated state of Amrit Yoga or Amrit method of Yoga Nidra. So that is the secret, yes.
Wow. And so for times that myself or our listeners, if we've loved someone but they didn't seem to return that love, then we think, well, am I doing something wrong?
Right. But it is always, so what I say is, whatever experience that appears to be coming from the other, it never comes directly from other as it is. It is always filtered by our reaction to them. So reaction is where I translated the other person into myself, where I live. So actually, nobody ever did to you what you think they did. Actually, everything that happened to you that appeared to be coming from the other was created by your own distorted reactive perception of it.
Ah, okay. And that is where taking time for the yoga nidra, the meditation, for some of the healing, is that the recommended path?
That, and also I have built very specific techniques in the practice of yoga so that you learn that when you are doing yoga posture and you come to our edge, in a physical edge, so that is where for most people it triggers fight or flight reaction, which is called unconscious. So most people fight through it and they improve their posture, but that is still unconscious. So it is not, the real purpose of yoga is not just becoming flexible. It is becoming more conscious. So that is more integrative. So most people who fight with it, they become more flexible. But what I say is there are many flexible, miserable people in this world. And that has nothing to do with yoga. Yoga is the way to remove all the self-caused suffering. So yoga that I teach all the techniques as to how to dismantle your reaction to your own blockages. Right? Wow. Your reaction is the problem, not the block that you are facing.
As I listen to that, Guru Dev, I think to myself, it's better to be able to touch your heart than it is to be able to touch your toes.
that's very well said. Yeah.
So, okay, and it's okay to do both, but touching your heart first certainly seems to be a higher priority.
Right. There is nothing wrong with physical exercise, but to call it yoga is not appropriate. Why? Because yoga connects you to the innermost core, your heart and your soul. And with just physical exercises, you are getting many physical benefits without a question, and it's obvious. But the real benefit or the real problem is not created by the body. So what lives in the body is all the blockages that you encounter in your body during yoga, they're psychosomatic. And they are created by emotions, fear, jealousy, anger, self-rejection, guilt. This is what lives in our body. So when you, and what I say is, you cannot solve the problems of the ego mind by the same ego mind that created it to begin with. So in this yoga, you go beyond your ego mind into the higher level of consciousness so that you can dismantle your emotional reactions, so that you eliminate your emotional buttons, and there your own relationship with yourself comes into harmonious interplay.
Wow.
And that gets reflected in external relationships everywhere. Oh. And regardless of what role you are playing, so if you are playing a role as a husband or wife, father or child, and a guru or disciple, or employer or employee, whatever role you are playing, you are just coming through with your all karmic patterns everywhere. But when you change yourself, all the roles that you play begins to create a profound shift.
So I was just having a thought as you were saying that of a newborn baby, and seeing how that baby is so very flexible. And the baby, usually new babies experience a lot of love. And then I was thinking to myself, wow, I wonder if the more I love myself, the more flexible I'll become.
That is so true, because whenever people are living with constant emotional reactions to everywhere they go, everything they do, everyone they meet, then what they're doing, they're producing a lot of poisonous chemicals in their own system that gets lodged in their muscles, in their cells, and then they get obese, they get sick, they become insensitive, they lose touch with life. And therefore, the stress is at the very core of 80% of all our sicknesses that we experience today. So everything that I teach is about how to enter the zero stress yoga zone through these practices that I teach on Yoga Nidra, Amrit Yoga, quantum breath meditation, you know, that is, and then people really enter into that stage so quickly because these ancient techniques are very powerful.
I remember just from the time that you were in Denver and we did some meditation, how quickly we're, the whole group of us got into a deep meditation.
Yes.
Now, for people that want to get an experience of that, I guess there's a couple of websites. AmritYoga.org has some things.
Yes, if they look at that, there are many articles written by me on Yoga Nidra, Amrit Yoga, Zero Stress Zone, Quantum Breath Meditation, so they can unload that from the website called Amrit, A-M-R-I-T, yoga.org.
Okay, great. And then
We have many programs that we give on Amrit Yoga Teachers Training, as well as Amrit Yoga Immersion Experience for 7 days, and Yoga Nidra Professional Training. And many professionals, they have come from many different fields to add this skill, because this entering into deepest level of relaxation is fundamental to all healing on all the levels, physical, mental, or emotional.
Wow. Okay. And so these different workshops, they would be able to look and see these coming up for 2011 and at the Amrit Yoga, AmritYoga.org.
Yes, and we have recently added a very unique program that is as ancient as yoga, that came from the great realized masters. It is called Ayurveda. And we have adopted a very powerful system that is called Panchakarma, which is detoxification of the psychosomatic blockages that are built into our biology and psychology. So how to dismantle that? So this is like more than 2,000-year-old techniques that yogis discovered when they went into the deepest level of meditation. So we provide that. You know, we have a medical doctor who is also Ayurvedic doctor. And we take only 8 people who can go through the detoxification. because that's fundamental to all healing to happen. When you detoxify your body and quiet your mind, you can enter into accelerated self-healing process.
Wow.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that there would be a relationship between this Ayurveda and diet and health and then our relationships.
Absolutely, because relationships, all relationships that you have with your objects of love or subjects of love is a reflection of how you are with yourself. And therefore, when you see your problematic relationships outside, you correct it inside first, and then you correct it outside, and it always works.
I like that. And it was interesting, the words, because sometimes people feel like they're being manipulated or used, and the term they're being treated as an object, and then you made mention of kind of a shift from someone being an object of your love or your attention to being a subject of a relationship.
That is very well explained, because you use the lover when you become attached to another person and you call them a lover, but you use them as a means to an end, then you're turning them into an object. Object can do what you want to do, like computer will do what you ask from it to do. Chair will do what you want it to do because you can move it around in the way you want. But person cannot do that. So when we expect person to do things that we expect, it is a disaster, which then marriage invariably comes to end in the form of divorce.
Yes. And then back into the cycle again and again and again.
Right, right. Because people, you cannot do the same thing and expect different results. Same thing means people, when they change the partner and hope to solve the problem, that cannot be solved because they are the problem. Problem is within them. So unless they change themselves, they cannot just get the results by changing another partner.
And I know I enjoyed listening to the CD that you have about love and bliss, and then I looked through some of the book, The Yoga of Relationships, and just am very excited because I opened it to chapter 5, and it was about immediately this part about releasing anything where we have any upset, loving without holding. So I'm excited to delve into this and want all my listeners to join in and go visit AmritYoga.org and begin to bring some of these things into their lives. And then for those that can, come to your trainings and heal their bodies and their lives.
I have been teaching last 50 years, and, you know, the organizations that I started that became largest in whole of America. And I have reached, and the yoga system that I developed, there are more than at least 5,000 yoga teachers, certified yoga teachers, teaching in 40 countries around the world. So this yoga became so well adopted, and so many people found such profound changes in their relationships that it has grown so profoundly. And we have many yoga teachers training, they just get filled very quickly.
This is exciting. I feel like we could just be beginning to explore this, and here we are at the end of our time together for this session. The time flies by so quickly. This is wonderful, and I just want to thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedule to be with our listeners and myself today and help share so much of value.
Right. I think, Ken, you asked me such wonderful questions, and it was just a pleasure to be with you and to bring the teachings to a lot of people, and it has worked. So that is the most important part. I'm not talking philosophy. I have tested these teachings over and over, and it has been extremely successful.
Yes, and I know I'm going to go deeper into them and recommend these highly to everyone else to explore. So, Gurudev, thank you so much. Many blessings to you. We'll continue to be in contact, and down the road, if you're available, have you on again, because I know there'll be more to explore.
Thank you very much, Ken. I'll be glad to be with you again.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Gurudev and my beloved listeners, God bless, and goodbye for now.
Thank you. Bye. Anyway.